I appreciate very much the opportunity to be here tonight to tell you a little bit about our work, and also at the same time to encourage each and every one of us, hopefully, to be more evangelistic minded. I do appreciate the congregation here, the work that you are doing in the mission fields, and I pray that you have much success. I know that you are mission minded, and that is very important. But at the same time, perhaps we can look at ourselves and see and understand that perhaps we can do more than we have in times past. I also appreciate the seniors for preparing some material for us for this summer's work, and I understand they will be preparing much more. As a matter of fact, they have a total of 10,000 packages to put together. We'll look at that. And I appreciate the funds that the congregation here has already given to the work, and I also appreciate the opportunity to stay here for the past few nights in your parking lot, as you probably have seen. So, to tell you a little bit about our work, we refer to it as Mission USA simply because that's what we're doing. We are going into counties where the church does not exist, striving to preach and teach the gospel to as many people as we possibly can. And there certainly is a great need. And of course, we intend to follow the pattern of the Bible, the Great Commission, in everything. Following the example that Jesus set before us, following the example that we have in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 8 in particular, Philip, and the Apostle Paul, going to places where the gospel has not gone as far as we know. And believe it or not, even in this country, or at least it needs to keep on going all the time, everywhere, in every generation. As Christians, we all need to be very thankful people. We are taught this when we pray to be thankful. First and foremost, we need to be thankful for God's wonderful saving grace. Without it, we could not be saved. It is wonderful. And we need to be very thankful for God's saving grace, but we also need to be thankful for Jesus Christ, who loved us so that he was willing to go to the cruel cross of Calvary to suffer the pain and the shame of that terrible cross, to shed his innocent blood for our sins. And we need to be thankful for those who converted us. Those people who took their time, talents and ability, and perhaps even money, to teach us the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to perhaps call them and give them a special thank you. I'm sure they would appreciate it. We need to be mindful and thankful for those who, in the long ago, established the congregation in this area. And even farther back than that, those during the Restoration Movement, carrying the gospel into these counties and towns without the church, and establishing such, or trying at least. Sometimes it did not take. But we need to be thankful people. One of the best ways of being thankful, of course, is to try to reach someone ourselves with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Personally, inviting people. I understand the congregation here has some cards, and this is a very excellent way for each and every member to pass out and to invite people of this community to your services. Also trying to set up Bible correspondent courses and trying to do everything that we possibly can to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And of course, it takes money, doesn't it? It takes money for the correspondent courses. It takes money for the tracts. It takes money for the workers. And there is a great need, even in this country. We need to be mindful of that. Yes, I am very thankful for every missionary in the foreign fields. And I pray for them very often. I pray that they will have much success. But also in this country, there is a great need. As you can see, there are over 700 counties without the church in this country. As a matter of fact, it is 717. That makes it almost 24% of this country, counties in this country without the church. Most people don't realize that. So there is a great need. And we need to be busy in God's kingdom, seeking and saving the lost, doing everything that we can to do that with our family members, with our neighbors, our friends, our co-workers, and beyond that to the next county, the next state, and the next country. The sun has already set for untold numbers. We can do nothing about them. Their eternal destiny is already sealed. But the sun is setting for multitudes of others and ever sinking low for us all. Those people who are in these counties we're talking about, without the gospel of Christ, they are dying without the truth. They are dying without salvation. We need to carry that truth to them. Now, while the sun is setting upon them, the lost, the sun is also setting upon us who have the truth. Today is our opportunity to carry the gospel to them. As Jesus said in John 9 and verse 4, the night cometh when no man can work. That night's coming for us all. That's why we need to be busy now in the Lord's work. Two souls leave this world every second, and we know many of them are unprepared to meet their God. Jesus said in John 4, 35 and 36, say not ye, there are 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the field, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages. Now listen to it. And gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Think about that. We want to be among the number that rejoices because of the one saved, because of our own salvation. In the long ago, God asked, Isaiah 6 and verse 8, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And we know Isaiah's answer. Here am I, send me. We often sing that song. But what we need to do when we sing the song and when we read the verse is truly mean it. Here am I, send me. We have a great mission before us. And each and every one of us need to be involved in it. Not just the preachers, not just the elders, not just a select few, but every one of us, according to our ability. We need to be involved in seeking and saving the lost. Here am I, send me. We all need the answer in that same manner. Now we're going. We've already been involved in this work for 2 years, part-time. We are going, but we need help. And we need your continued help. Jesus said in Mark 16:15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. We need more people everywhere to answer that call. We sold our house in the beautiful Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia, and we went into the motorhome setting out back. Less than 400 square feet, as you'll see in the next slide. We moved to the church building at Shenandoah. The next slide is a more realistic picture of this winter, as we had snow upon top of snow upon top of snow. And I understand Michael has been talking about that somewhat, going with us on one trip in the wintertime. I'd like to give Michael a special invitation now to come and go with us. He can sleep on the cold, cold floor. But we do hope to be in warmer weather because it is necessary to door knock in the right conditions. And this is why in the summer months we will work in the northern towns, and in the winter months we will work in the southern towns, because you simply cannot be successful door knocking when it is very cold outside, and you cannot have tent meetings and things like that. This little motorhome is moving. Now, we're not going to be zipping all over the country. We're not going to do that at all. We're going to move to the work area. We're going to stay there all summer, and we're going to work. And then when we move for the winter's work, we will be there for the winter. We're not just going to be zipping around like some people think. We have chosen Minnesota as our first destination. And the reason for it is because there are 62 counties in that state without the true church. It is the number one state with the most counties without the church. We'll be working in Martin County, first of all in the city of Fairmont. Now, we started this work in 2008. I was still preaching full-time at Shenandoah. When we door knocked that first year, we were driving on the average of 120 miles. Yet we knocked 1,762 doors. The next year, we knocked 2,243 doors. That many households, that many families received some very excellent material. The next slide shows me preaching in a meeting under a picnic shelter. And I show this to let you know that we are willing to teach, we're willing to preach wherever the opportunity arises. We did not know it at the time, but directly in behind me was a horseshoe tournament going on. And to my left, a baseball game was going on. And on top of that, the wind kicked up and started blowing dust on us. It was sad to see the people, worldly-minded, going to those events, bypassing our signs, and enjoying life. God-given life. And ignoring the opportunity for eternal life. But we did what we could. And yes, we did have three visitors from the community to come. The weather was not very good. We got started too late with that meeting. But we learn each and every year something. And we're always open for suggestions. We want to do the very best that we can in this work. Now, in the next slide, I introduce my wife in case you do not have the opportunity to meet her. She has been with me every step of the way. The next slide is showing our introduction page. The content on that can change according to the needs. Some very good material in that. On the very back side is some internet websites and such like. On one occasion, we came up on three teenagers in a yard. We talked with them for some time. The one teenager did not believe in God. We directed her attention to apologetic prayers. We spent much time with her. What will come of that, I do not know. But I do know this. We have sown the seed in her heart. And that is the power of God unto salvation. Romans 1 and verse 16. The next slide shows the tracts that we are using. Some very outstanding material at a very reasonable cost. These tracts here, the five, cost about 50 cents for all five. We order in volume. The next few slides, you might recognize some of these fine folks. Your elderly citizens of this kingdom here. And we appreciate them very much for the work that they have done and that they intend to do. We simply could not do it all ourselves. We cannot put the material together and go door knocking at the same time. We could, but it would slow us way down. And we cannot carry all of that weight in the motor home. If we miss someone that was working here, you can get on to Michael. I think he took the pictures. And we appreciate Michael for sending us the pictures and adding to the slideshow a little bit. It is quite new to me. And then the finished product. It's all bagged up, the next slide, and ready to go. And so are we. We are ready to go into Minnesota. The next slide is showing the excellent DVD. If you're not familiar with this, if you have never seen it, I recommend that you see it. And I also recommend that you on top of other evangelistic efforts that you put forth personally. Use this DVD to teach your family members and your friends and neighbors the truth, and to leave this with them. The next slide, we have the correspondent courses that we use. At one time in Shenandoah, with just about 8 or 9 members, we had almost 300 students. We were also sending out a monthly paper of 6,310. We were doing what we could to evangelize. There was an elderly couple in Pennsylvania, took the Bible correspondent courses, and in process of time, they were converted. And one of the outstanding things of this couple, they made the statement time and time again, how that they prayed to God that God would grant them life long enough that they also might convert someone. Now, folks, that is Christianity, isn't it? We are converted, we're thankful, and therefore we try to convert other people. This is exactly what they did. The church where they attended were not involved in the correspondent courses, so they started it themselves with their own money. They advertised in the newspaper. And in process of time, they also got the church there involved in it. So much, much good has come from that. The next slide, we have a gentleman in Virginia who is one of our graders. We have one in Tennessee also, and a congregation in Georgia on standby to take any excess that we might have. And we hope to sign up many and have many students by summer's end. Our sponsoring congregation is Greenfield Church of Christ in Greenfield, Tennessee. You may know of them. We appreciate them very much. But we are thankful for each and every supporting congregation and individual. Whether we goest, thou goest. By your prayers, by your support. When we knock on a door, when we talk with the people, when we study with the people, you are there with us. And we sincerely request that you pray for us very, very often. Pray for the people that they will have honest and receptive hearts to the truth. We need to be people of much prayer, because we know by the Scriptures there is power in prayer. We appreciate your prayers and your financial support as you are able to give. Our plan is very simple. To door knock, present the material, to talk with people as much as we possibly can, realizing that the more we do that, the more interest we may create. And of course, to set up studies. We have studied at people's doors for 30 minutes and above. We have studied with them on their porches, on their picnic tables, in their homes, of course. Wherever, we are willing to talk and study with them. We want to have more gospel meetings. But this is where we really need some help from the congregations. Someone to send a preacher to hold the meeting, to make a tent available, to send out workers to go in behind us and invite the people to the meeting, reminding them that we've been there already passing out the material. So volunteers are needed. Volunteers in the Lord's army. We need full-time workers, those who are willing to do as we did, sell their houses, and to buy some kind of an RV. And come and go with us. Folks, this life is short. And we need to do all that we possibly can in the Lord's kingdom. I would rather die having made that sacrifice than building my house and the luxuries I had back in Grindstone Mountain, the foot of the Blue Ridge. Think about it. While we have life, we need to do all we can. The Lord sacrificed greatly for us. Those who have converted people and who have established congregations throughout the ages have sacrificed much. We can also sacrifice in order to carry the gospel to the lost. If you are not able to help us full-time, part-time. No doubt many of you already have an RV of some type, which I think is very helpful in this work. Because a lot of places we go to do not have proper motels. But you can come and help us a few days, a few weeks, go on for vacation. And of course we need congregations to stand up workers, especially prior to a gospel meeting, and workers in the congregation. We appreciate this so very, very much. The next slide shows our website, which explains much more about the work plan, has the bulletins, and also our email address. We would love to hear from you. We would love to receive emails from you encouraging us and making any suggestions that you have. If you do not have this, Tammy and Michael should have bulletins that they can pass out to you so that you can have the website address and such like. We need to have the faith of Caleb. What a great man he was. At Kadesh Barnea, on the border of the Promised Land, remember, God told them to go up and possess the land. Caleb said, "Let us go up at once, for we are well able to possess it, to conquer it, to overcome it." Keep in mind, God has told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We need to have that same kind of faith. We are well able to do that. But let's see what else Caleb said. "Now therefore give me this mountain." He was ready to conquer that mountain at the age of 85. He never gave up. He never quit. This is like the Apostle Paul, isn't it? As much good as the Apostle Paul did, he did not rest on all of his good works in the past, did he? But he pressed on. And that's what we must do. Press on sowing the seed of the kingdom. Never quitting, but always going forward. There's a mountain of souls without the gospel, even in this country. And many of them are crying out for help. Well, maybe not in the sense we would like for them to. But we know that they need the gospel of Jesus Christ. A lot of these people, as we full well know, are satisfied with their religion. We need to provoke them. We need to create interest in them to actually get into the Bible and test their religion. And there are honest hearts in the world that are yet lost in their sins. We need to find them while we have the opportunity. We need that faith of Caleb. You know, we are well able to preach the gospel to every creature. We are well able to do so. God has never given us a commandment that we cannot do, that we cannot obey. The Word of God is perfect. When there is a failure, it's not God or His Word, it is us. We are well able now to evangelize the entire world. What it requires, though, is for each and every one of us to truly be evangelistic minded. The number one work of the Lord's church. We must do that. It is our privilege to be involved in this great work. There is an urgent need for evangelization. Think about it. People are lost without the gospel. And who's going to tell them the truth? Who's going to preach to them the truth, the saving truth? We know who. We know the answer. No one else can do it. No one else will do it except the Lord's church. And we need to be busy doing that. As a reminder, two souls die every second, and many without that saving truth. And every soul is very valuable. Their soul is just as valuable to them as your soul is to you. And every soul is just as valuable to God as our souls are to God. We need to understand that it is a great privilege and responsibility to have the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. The supreme motivating force is love. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Luke 19 and verse 10, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." And now He has given us that glorious opportunity to go and to seek and to save the lost, laying up treasures in heaven. As God's people, God is love. We must be the children of love. We need to radiate that same love throughout the world. We need to obey God and go. Not say, "Here we are, come to us," but go to them. Go seeking the lost, and always remembering that God gives the increase. We are to sow, and we are to water. We are to cultivate, but beyond that, we can do nothing else. And do not think that when people reject the gospel, when they reject us, that we are failing. As long as we are obeying God, we are not failures. When they reject the truth, they are failing. When Jesus went to the Gadarenes and they rejected Him, would you say Jesus failed? Not at all. Jesus did not fail. They failed. And when we go, learning from what our Lord said to do, and the people are not receptive to the truth, we are to shake the dust off and go on, and keep going and going until we find those with honest hearts. Luke 8 and verse 15. We must go on. But what so very often happens is we get bogged down and we think, well, we've got to convert someone here. No. If they are the mindset that they're not receptive to the truth, we go on and we find that good soul. That's what we are to do. That's the Bible example. Now here again, who's going to do it? If not us, who? If not now, when? I saw this on Governor George Allen's desk in Virginia. At the bottom of the plaque, Ronald Reagan. I thought this was outstanding concerning the church and the mission we have. If not us, who will tell them the truth? And brethren, if we're not doing it now, to the very best of our ability, when will we? We have a very golden opportunity. We have the precious gospel in our hands. We need to be taking that gospel to all the world. And we can do more. Let's not say we cannot do it. Let's not be like the 10 spies that brought up the evil report. But let us be like the little red caboose. We can. Because that is in God's Word. That's a biblical principle. We can do it. We can do more. Before we close, I would like to offer the Lord's invitation. While the world still stands, while you still have the breath of life, you have that glorious opportunity to respond to the Lord's invitation. The Bible teaches the alien sinner must hear the truth, must believe that truth, and must obey that truth by confessing Jesus Christ, repenting of sins, confessing Jesus Christ, and being buried with Him in baptism for the remission of sins. If you are here as a child of God, but know there is sin in your life, you should know also that that sin is separating between you and your God, Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Separating between you and your salvation. You need to repent of that. Make proper confession and ask for the prayers of the church. It might be that you realize that you have not been very evangelistic minded. That you have missed many golden opportunities to try to reach someone with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Maybe you need to repent of that. If you have any need whatsoever, we would encourage you and invite you to respond to the Lord's invitation while together we stand and sing.